would you believe we're going to have a message about serving? But not to coerce you. Coercion's not my job. The Holy Spirit will convict you where and how you need to serve. But believe it or not, there's a lot of good information in the Bible about the need to serve and how to serve. I told you last week that in these coming weeks, we were going to be talking about being the church. That's serving is part of being the church. A little bit out of sequence maybe, but we started last week with that one little piece of a statement from Jesus in Matthew 16, I will build my church. And there's heaps more for us to learn about the nature of the church, but today, because of the need to do the ministry fair at this time of the year, we just kind of move this topic up. We serve Christ by serving people as he did. Jesus left the throne room of heaven to take up a cross on earth. Picture that. Get a mental image of that. Leaving the very throne room of heaven to take his place on a cross. He left royalty to become a man who served other people. We want to be like Jesus. Follow his example. We want to serve within and from this church. We serve each other. We serve those who need to know him. We serve our neighbors. And we also enjoy to learn, sir. We learn to enjoy serving. Be happy. Do not grumble. We're going to read that right here in black and white this morning. We're going to look at two very consistent parts of the New Testament this morning about service. The first is a little bit of Matthew's record of Jesus' teaching in chapter 20 of Matthew. And the other is a little bit of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, where there it specifically describes Jesus as a servant. If you want to, we're not going to go to the Old Testament today, but there's plenty there. If you want an easy connection to Old Testament description of serving, look at Isaiah. And in latter in Isaiah, there's some chapters called the suffering servant passages, specifically chapter 42, 49, 50, 52 into 53. And those are prophecies about the coming Messiah, and he's described as a suffering servant. Well, we're going to read from Matthew 20 here in just a moment. This chapter, Matthew 20, starts with a story about various people working in a vineyard. It's a parable that Jesus told, and he talked about the various workers working on a particular day in the vineyard. Some of them worked all day. Some of them worked only a little bit at the end of the day. But the owner of the vineyard chose to pay them all the same wages. Of course, some of them were a bit upset about that. Some of them were really happy. And Jesus, at the very end of the story, he said, and it's recorded there in verse 16, so the last will be first, and the first will be last. And then, as the 12 apostles and Jesus and their support crew were traveling toward Jerusalem, Jesus told them that he would be persecuted in Jerusalem and would die there, and also raised alive. And lately, it seems like I've been saying this a lot, but in my imagination, I imagine the apostles think, and maybe the people with them thinking, if he's really God, how can men kill him? How could that happen? Only because he willingly died at the hands of men in order to serve mankind. Think about this group of men and their crew traveling with Jesus toward Jerusalem on their way to death. Matthew 20, verse 20. And this is along their journey. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "Yes, we can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared for by my Father." When the ten heard about this, meaning the other ten apostles, when the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Son of Man, there is Jesus' own title for himself. He borrows that from Daniel and other places, but that's how he describes himself in most of those conversations. So, here we have them along their journey. The mother of James and John, two very close apostles to Jesus, comes to Jesus and said, "I want a favor. I want you to have my sons at your right and your left when you enter your kingdom." When you know, we're talking about the heavenly kingdom. I want my sons at your right and your left. And you can maybe hear behind that, honor their commitment to you. They're good men. They've followed you faithfully. In her mind, it's a perfectly good request, right? And Jesus said, "Oh, you may not want to follow me there. Can you drink from the cup I will drink?" And he's, of course, talking about his death on the cross and bearing the sin of the world. And then he says, "Well, actually, my Father makes those decisions. That's not up to me." Eventually, he told the whole group, "We are not like the world." Isn't that what he's saying? We do not do things like the world, where the leaders lord over everybody else and tell everybody what to do and take advantage of them and whatever. In my kingdom, the last will be first. So do not promote yourselves. Serve. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus did not teach his disciples how to get ahead politically. He did not teach them how to make money with a good business plan. Instead, he told them to serve each other and to serve people in the world. It will eventually consume your life. Now, I don't know how that sounds to you. It may sound mundane, boring. It may sound sad to you. I wonder if it sounds weak or fatalistic. What Jesus calls his people to do, he himself did. He laid out the pattern. He became a servant. And do you remember that just before his death, he illustrated how to do that by washing their feet? And the next day he died for them and for us. Would you say that this public ministry is taking a pretty dramatic turn here? It's getting pretty challenging to follow Jesus when he starts talking about these things. And physically, they're moving toward Jerusalem, where he's already told them he will die for the sins of many, to pay the ransom of many. Intentionally going toward his death because he knew it was the will and the plan of the Father that he be sacrificed in our place. Jesus came to occupy a cross, not a throne on earth. He didn't ride into town on a white stallion as a conquering king or army general. Remember, he rode in on a donkey when he got there. And he adapted, didn't he? I mean, he adapted to the context of humans on earth. He put aside his white robe and he took on the clothes necessary to blend and be part of common people, us. He came to our neighborhood. He was adaptable so he could serve well, so that he could carry out his intended purpose on earth. And we must be adaptable to serve. In days gone by, as we were preparing our short-term mission teams, we would tell them, you need to be flexible. You need to be like Gumby. Now, probably only a few of you know what that means. Gumby. Some of you do. It was a little flexible figurine, rubber with wire in it. You could bend him any way you want. Some of you are hearing the song of the commercial, maybe. Be flexible. Be adaptable in order to serve. Well, let's jump over to the Philippians letter. I just picked a couple of very blatant passages this morning to talk about serving. If you're in Matthew, you just go to the right for a ways to the book of Philippians. And again, we find, well, let me first say, in the very first words of this letter, the greeting, it says that the letter is from Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, and it is addressed to God, all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. In our lingo, we'd say pastors and deacons. At Philippi. That's not, last week we talked about Caesarea Philippi. This is not the same town. This is at the top of the Aegean Sea. It was a Roman outpost from very eastern Greece in their day. But very different locations. It was Roman Greek city, not at all a Jewish city. But Paul helped establish a church there, and he's writing a letter to them. It's later in his life. He's in prison writing this letter. Now skip over to chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Just beginning with verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value your others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And at that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. The last will be first. We find again here a description of Jesus lowering himself, humbling himself to the level of a servant. This is God leaving the throne to wash feet. This is the Messiah giving his life as a ransom for ours. Was he a servant? Absolute. Did he adapt to be a servant? Absolutely. He adjusted in order to be obedient to the Father. And the Father exalted him to the highest place where his name is above all others. And we sing about that. The last will be first. And there's more. Look at verse 12 and following. Because of what he just said, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Remember, he's in jail. Paul's in jail when he's writing this. And here's the good part. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Did you hear that? You can remind your kids later today when you ask them to do something. It says in the Bible, do everything without grumbling or arguing, right? So that you become blameless and pure. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, humbly. Recognize your right place before a holy God and serve. Serve him by serving people. Work it out. Put it to work. Put your salvation to work. Work on it. Practice it. Because it is God who is at work in us to bring us to the right place, to do the right things, and to accomplish his purpose. It's one of my favorite verses, but I like to wrestle with it. Well, it says, work out your salvation, and then it says, God's working in you. Both of those things have to be going on simultaneously. And he sent his Spirit to reside in us, in his church, to help us conform to his likeness, his image. We're created for that very purpose. And do not grumble about it. Be happy. Learn to enjoy it. Let God refine you into straight arrows among a crooked generation. Do we need some of that today? Our world's going mighty crooked. God needs some straight arrows. Reformed by His fire, His work, His love, His Spirit. Then you will shine like the stars as you hold firmly to the Word of life. Who is Jesus? Hold firmly. Don't let go. We told you we'd give you some more time to explore these mission or ministry stations. So here's a short summary to a short sermon. Number one, be like Jesus. Easy enough, right? Be like Jesus. Become an adaptable servant. Now, these tables are not, I know, those are not the only places to serve. Not even the only places to serve in this church. And certainly there are just many, many, many opportunities in the world to serve Christ. Number one, be like Jesus. Number two, serve within and from the body of Christ, His church. It's His plan. It's what God set up. Number three, be happy. Do not grumble. Enjoy doing His work. Got it? Be like Jesus. Serve. Be happy about it. Is that a simple enough sermon? Okay.